The following talk was given by Father John Hardin, July 15th through 19th, 1998, Retreat for Men. The Virtue of Hope, Confidence.
We are reflecting the virtues which the Holy Spirit infused into our souls when we have been baptized. We meditated on the virtue of faith, you know, the virtue of hope. However, I would like to revise the title and say we want to reflect on the virtue of confidence. I doubt if there's any virtue a more desperate in need in our day than confidence. The reason is obvious. There is so much going on in the modern world to discourage even the most hardy souls. Lord, we are tempted to ask Him, what will happen next? As one bishop wrote to me, quoting the prayer that he regularly addresses to God, Lord, how long? Oh Lord, how long? The confidence of many once strongly believing Catholics has been shaken. We live in that period of history, and the propaganda against Christ and His followers has never been more virulent, more incessant, and more demonically successful. Never in the history of Christianity have more bishops, priests, religious, and the professed Catholics left the Catholic Church than in the 20th century. Never before. The statistics for our own country, hardly publicized, indicate that in our country, more than one out of two marriages breaks down. Then we look into our own lives. We all make compromises with what we know has been God's will in our lives. We want to be accepted by the culture in which we live. We want, what else, but to be loved by those whom we love. Oh, how cheap words can be. How hard it is to live up to Christ's mandate. The one who does the will of my Father, says Jesus, he is the one who loves me. Naturally, you're afraid. Afraid for ourselves, afraid for the church, and afraid for the future. Is it any wonder that all the modern popes, but especially our present Holy Father, remember, tells us, do not be afraid. To begin by asking ourselves, what is confidence? Remember, our object of reflections in this meditation is hope. What is hope? Hope is the assured desire we shall obtain what God has promised us. Trust is a reliance that we have. Trust is that God will come through and give us what He promised. In the strict theological sense, we hope to obtain what God has promised. We trust God because we know He loves us. And then confidence is a result of both hope and trust. Confidence is a peace of heart that comes from the security, which is the result of having an assured hope and a firm trust in God. We can have confidence only if we first trust, and then trusting, have hope. And let's be clear. We trust in God, have a hope in His promises, only in the measure that we believe in God. Faith is not just the measure of our trust. It is the foundation of our trust. Only believers can have hope. Only believers can trust. Only believers can have confidence. And then we speak of having confidence, or of confidence being so important. We mean a confidence that comes from trusting in God because we believe in His love. Oh, but dear Lord, how we are tempted to tell You, if only You did not try and test our love of You. And as we are saying, and will continue until the last minutes of this retreat, is the trials in our lives, the hardships, the pain, the suffering. In one single word, it is the cross. But unless our faith is very strong, tends to weaken our trust in God and our corresponding hope that we shall obtain from Him whom we profess to believe in. But hear it. This God whom we believe in is a testing God. Now hear the word. This God we believe in is a trying God. Our focus in this meditation is on confidence as the fruit of the virtue of hope. It is remarkable how easily and spontaneously people look elsewhere to get that security of soul which is confidence. My favorite definition of confidence, security of soul. We are then looking for that security in the one place. You know their confidence will not be betrayed, namely, no wonder you can distrust anybody and everybody, but in His name we dare not distrust God. We live on promises. Our lives are built on hope. A hopeless life, how well I know, is a faithless life. In our hope, or the security of soul which follows from hope, our confidence depends on the strength of our faith. And our faith today is being tried and tested. I see this with complete certitude, as never before in the 20 centuries of Christianity. The more we know about our own country, the more we know what's going on in the Catholic Church. My 31st year in working for the Holy See, how I need to rely on my faith. Faith to provide me with a foundation for my hope, and my hope provide me with the security that I want to have for the future, which is, as we are saying, confidence. The trouble is, unless we are careful, we shall depend on the wrong persons to keep their promises, and the wrong object to fulfill our hopes. Dare I say it? When I pronounced my final vows as a member of the Society of Jesus, February the 2nd, 1953. Well, 45 years ago, never did I dream that my trust, my confidence in the society which I had joined would be so tested and tried. Never. You don't lose that the Society of Jesus has lost 15,000 members since the Second Vatican Council. You don't see one after another while once Jesuit colleges and universities becoming citadels of heterodoxy and hostility to the Vicar of Christ. You don't get told, and maybe the first time I'm saying this, you want to strengthen your own confidence in God. John, I've been told by my superiors, you no longer take your theology. I'm living in Detroit because I was removed from the five institutions that I was teaching: New York, Washington, Philadelphia, and Chicago. I assure you, we all, you need a strong, deep, unwavering confidence in God. I need it. Who would not have chosen this meditation that with God's grace I've been trying to live out my trust in God and consequent confidence in His goodness? Hear it. I'm not plagiarizing. This is my own well, once published manuscript to refresh my memory. It's all inside, but helps to see something, remind myself what I wrote. Just as there are no unbelievers in the world, hear it? No unbelievers in the world, except, of course, in mental institutions. Over the years, I think I've said more than once, I don't quite like Aristotle's definition of man. Man, says Aristotle, is a rational animal. I've met too many irrational people. I prefer man as a believing animal. Every rational human being believes. Now the question is, whom does he believe? St. John's question, unanswerable. How is it, the evangelist asks, that people are so ready, so prompt to believe in other human beings and so slow to believe in God? So correspondingly, there is no one who does not trust. But as with faith, the question is, whom do you trust in? What a safe statement. Not everyone trusts in God. Let me be as plain as I can. It is not hope alone that will give us peace. In how we want, how desperately we need peace of heart, peace of mind. The lowest figure published by the pharmacy companies is 70 million Americans surviving in some peace of mind by using medically prescribed tranquilizers. How is it there are so many people who are worried, anxious, discouraged, despairing? Because they have lost their confidence or trust for the mistake they've made. And the one mistake I'm asking our Lord here and expose to give all of us is not just to trust in God, but grow, deepen, grow in our trust in Him. Whatever else you do during this retreat, I beg you, examine your consciences. Ask yourselves, and if we're all the same, as I've said so often, whatever retreat I give, I honestly believe there is no one to whom I'm speaking who needs the retreat more than I do. Find out during this retreat, what is it that worries me? What makes me discouraged, despondent? What makes me anxious? Our Lord could not have been clearer, could not have been stronger. He tells us to trust him, but get the object of that verb, trust him. It is not, believe me, trusting ourselves. We've disappointed ourselves too often. Or even trusting other human beings. Of course we trust them, but always, always conditionally. There's only one being in existence whom we should trust and that we have confidence in unconditionally, and that is the living God. Says our Lord, take the birds of the air. The Lord provides for their food. What are we worrying about? But as we said regarding faith, so hope, or the security that hope gives us, confidence, is conditional. And our confidence will be only as strong, number one, in our faith in God's love, and then the other, in God's loving mercy, is unquestioning. I have assisted too many people on their deathbed as a priest not to know some very good people, having lived what in my estimation were holy lives, who, how the devil tempts them to discouragement, anxiety, and they are facing eternity. Our confidence will first of all depend on our strong faith in a merciful God. Again, our confidence will depend on our controlling our thoughts. The foundation of a holy life is a controlled mind. As we've been saying, our wills by themselves are blind faculties. They need the mind to enlighten them. But these minds of ours, I'm not exaggerating, they can be jungles of wild beasts. We will have only as much confidence in God as we control our thoughts. Dare I say it? We have thoughts that the moment they come into our minds, they should be removed. I'll keep saying this until the last meditation. The most important single function of our free will is to master our thoughts. What we think, we desire. What we desire, we choose. What we choose, we love. What we love shapes our character in this world and our destiny in the world to come. And of course, our thoughts are determined by the sense experiences that we have. This means if we're going to maintain a strong confidence in God, we do not allow our minds to have real discouraging thoughts. All you've got to do is read. I'm in Chicago, the Chicago Tribune, faithfully, every day. Detroit, the Detroit News. New York, New York Times. Our media specialize, hear it. They specialize in things that will be shocking, disturbing, and consequently causing disturbance, anxiety, and even despair. Over the years, I don't know how many times I've told some of you, quoting Marshall McLuhan, the great modern philosopher of the modern media. Said McLuhan, the modern media are engaged in Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. That is why you've got to, every one of you, examine your consciences on what kind of thoughts are entering your minds. What do you read? What do you watch? What do you listen to? Whom do you talk with? And the devil wants nothing more than to make us worried, discouraged, and induce despair. Listen. There are two kinds of temptations to which we are all subject. There are temptations that we should immediately discard. There are temptations we should resist. The temptation we should immediately discard, and I'm speaking, I trust, to the right audience, are temptations to worry, anxiety. These are the devil's favorite, patented in hell, temptation against those who want to do God's will, to discourage them. He knows demonically well. So if you're trying to serve God faithfully, he will attempt, and I repeat, to worry, anxiety, so that they will give up. I know the Holy Father personally. I gave a 3-day series of lectures in this country. Community of Polish nuns worked for the Holy Father. Take care of all his domestic work. And by the way, make sure that his food is not toxic. Take care of his correspondence. And they share with me, because they know the Holy Father so well, the one virtue he wants to get across to the believing Catholic bishops, priests, religious, and the laity. His trust, confidence. But we've got to do our part. And allow ourselves to be seduced by the evil spirit who's using the media of this world to discourage people to despair. There's a paragraph here that I think I should paraphrase for you. Human beings are fickle, changeable, unstable. In a word, they are unpredictable. You just cannot depend on people, or even, I repeat, on that one person whom you know you want to trust the most, who not coincidentally has your name.